These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Got a little news for you.
It's the news update on Make It Rain.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Dane. I'm Alex Fasano with your Make It Rain news update. I think a name you forgot was Billy Wagner on that MLB ballot list. Shout out Billy Wagner. I remember
he at least he is something like third all time in saves.
Yeah, he got a case for at least.
He has I don't think he's a Hall of Famer per se, but I mean, at least there's a legitimate argument to be made if
Absolutely.
Billy Wagner. Mom.
Yeah, I remember he came out with Enter Sandman, and people were upset about it because he's not Enter Sandman. It was all Mo. So
he actually started that before Mariano.
He
though,
did. Alex. I do remember. Yeah, I remember that was a big thing. Like people were saying Billy did it first, but Mo was so much better that he just overtook it. So,
well, Wagner. I mean, there are worse names.
Oh,
on
yeah.
that list.
Oh yeah, 100%. But we'll see what happens when the Writers Association vote him in. But you guys are probably right. Derek Jeter, 100%, hands down. Respect to the captain. Let's get into some football, guys. Monday Night Football in Mexico City. The Chiefs take down the Chargers 24-17 in front of 76,000-plus fans filled that stadium. Shout out to Mexico City showing their football fandom. Pat Mahomes finished with 19 of 32 passing, 182 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Not a good Pat Mahomes day, but he was the leading rusher for the Chiefs with 59 yards on five carries. Travis Kelce got involved with seven catches for 92 yards and a score. On the other side, man, Phillip Rivers, what is he going to do to have to win? 28 of 52 passing, 353 yards, but one touchdown and four interceptions. Melvin Gordon led the way, 14 carries with 69 nice yards. And Austin Eckler had eight catches for 108 yards. But the key thing here, guys, 17 total penalties in the game. I don't know what's going on with the NFL officiating, but they love those yellow flags. We're looking ahead. Kansas City and the Chargers both have byes in Week 12, but for Week 13, the Chiefs take on Oakland at home, and the Chargers go to Denver to take on the Broncos. Good thing for the Chiefs, too, because they've had injuries from Tyreek Hill, who did not help my fantasy team, Damian Williams, and safety Jordan Lucas. So this bye week could not have come.
I wouldn't be surprised if that Chiefs-Raiders game, not this week, but for Week 13,
for the division.
Gets flexed into Sunday night also
Absolutely.
Because of the implications.
Yeah, don't sleep on the Raiders. They can creep up here and take that division in the West. I mean, if the Raiders, also side note, if the Raiders make the playoffs, I think Gruden's got to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. I mean, he's coaching this team up after all that drama with Hard Knocks. What a great coach Chucky's been doing. I think it's a fair statement. But we'll move on. Let's go to some NBA guys. The Clippers take down the Thunder 90. The Clippers take down the Thunder 90-88. Without Kawhi Leonard for the third straight game, load management, I don't know, a knee contusion kept him out. He hasn't played with Paul George yet this season, but Paul George got his revenge. He finished with 18 points and 7 rebounds against his former team. Montrezl Harrell, actually, ironically, off the bench, led the way in points with 28 points and a 12-rebound double-double game. On the other side for the Thunder, Chris Paul, 22 points, 4 assists, and Steven Adams with a near double-double of 9 points and 10 rebounds. Let's go to the Mavericks taking down the Spurs, 117-110. Guys, Luka Doncic dominating a career-high 42 points. He finished with his sixth triple-double of his young NBA career, 42 points, 11 rebounds, and 12 assists. He's in his second season. He's got six triple-doubles already. He's doing great. Kristaps Porzingis finished with a double-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds. And for San Antonio,
one of the rare win-wins, right? For that situation.
Crazy.
I mean, you trade with Atlanta. I mean, one guy gets Trae Young, the other guy gets Luka Doncic. I mean,
I
don't think either
out.
Of those franchises is going, I won. Not like you both won. Like, that often doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It's usually somebody gets fleeced, but congratulations to both organizations. You got 20-year vets there.
Absolutely. Luka killing it in his young career, and Trae Young shooting threes and hitting them from the logos. Yep. So it's great to see both these guys driving. This is the future of the league, guys. This is the future. These guys are showing up. It's crazy. This early in their careers. Unbelievable. For San Antonio, DeMar DeRozan finishing with 36 points and 8 rebounds. LaMarcus Aldridge, a near double-double of 16 points and 9 rebounds. We said it was Luka's 6th triple-double of his season. Well, that was the Spurs' 6th straight loss of this season. So we'll see what happens when San Antonio moving forward as the season progresses. Let's take a look at some NFL MVP odds, guys. We got a little bit of a change-up here. Lamar takes the sole lead of the MVP favorites. He is at plus 140, and Russell Wilson is still at plus 150. Deshaun Watson at plus 1400, Aaron Rodgers at plus 1600. And I know it's because it's a quarterback thing, but I really, really, really want to pull for this guy, Christian McCaffrey, at plus 3800. I mean, the team
scored.
If
you listen to Booger McFarland last night, Michael Thomas should be the damn MVP. He could do nothing but throw Michael Thomas's name into the MVP race, which is a little outlandish for a wide receiver. It is interesting that it went down for Lamar. To me, that's more of the recency bias. Remember, Russell wasn't playing, you know, and so all of a sudden we see Lamar, the nice shiny toy. I think it's a two-horse race.
And Seattle, they have the same record as the Ravens, I believe, and they're a wild card team, so it's crazy.
That's why you never, ever listen to Monday Night Football with the volume up. Like, watch it. Put you never, ever keep the volume up.
So you can make some cash. We would have given you plenty of ways to make cash last night.
Ever.
Yeah. Don't listen to Monday Night Football broadcasters. Listen to Make It Rain on the Sports Grid TV network to give you the best odds and win some cash.
Don't go anywhere, man. I want to ask you something, man. You stay there.
All right. I will stay, and we're going to send it back to the guys on Make It Rain.
Listening to the Sports Grid Network.
Let it rain!
You remember the class where I taught y'all how to make it rain?
Make it rain.
Dollar, dollar bills, y'all.
All right, here we go. Hour two on the grid, sportsgrid.com. Welcome in those of you joining us on Pluto TV, channel 517. All 20 million of you. Thank you very much for stopping by, making us a part of your day here. As Dane Martinez, I'm Joe Ranieri. Look to make it rain for you here today. And Alex, I got a question for you, man, here. Speaking of updates here, what in this pit league that we have, our fantasy football, what is the name of your team? What is the name of it? What was it?
It is Too Many Cooks.
Oh, that's funny. That's the team I played this week. So let's see here. Oh, look at that. That's unfortunate for you. You didn't even make it to triple digits, huh? 86 points. Is that, ouch, 124. Ain't that a shame. My word. What spot are you? Who's worse than you? Let's start with that. Who in the pit actually has a worse record than you now?
Well, we actually we have two teams with worse records than me. That will be Where's Antonio, a.k.a. the Closer. And we got Halfway Cooks, a.k.a. Steve, one of our producers, who actually traded me to help me get into the 10th spot. So I guess a shout out to Steve for making me not the worst team in the league. So, you know, at least there's that.
There is that. I just I want you all to know, too. Again, I have Kareem Hunt's available for trading. I just want to throw it out there. Any of them might need help during caught a lot of crap there for getting Kareem. But yet here we are. Still, how many weeks left to go now in fantasy leagues, Dane? How long has it?
Two weeks before the playoffs.
We got two weeks left to go, Joe.
All right. So it's a big final push, man. And that's how many teams make the playoffs?
I think it's a six-team playoff. That's
six,
right.
Top Joe, six. You and I are one game out with two to go, brother man.
All right, so this is big for us. Unfortunately, Alex, that looks like your season. You're kind of like the Chargers right now, right? This loss kind of stuck a fork in you there.
Yeah, pretty much stick a fork in me. I'm done. However, I will not be one of those fantasy players that just sits and lays down and goes, "I'm just done." I'm going to be the spoil team for the next 2 weeks. So watch out, whoever's playing me this week and next. I don't quit, man. I don't care if I'm the 10th team or the last team.
That's my play next week.
Hey, it's me and you, Dane? Oh, God.
Are you halfway cooked?
No, that's actually Steve. So the worst team in the league.
Yeah, the last
Steve's
play
the worst team. Don't lose that game. Don't you lose that game.
We'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens.
Give me Sussman. I want you, Sussman. I'm coming after you.
There's someone you love.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat. Folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Kerry Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
All right, bunch of opportunities here tonight to make it rain. 49 college basketball games, 13 NHL games, 4 NBA games, and of course, Mac Action Football. With, if you like craziness, guys, you are going to love what Mac Action brings to the table tonight. We'll talk about some of those games. Plus, we'll take a look at some of these early lines in the NFL with some of the biggest market movers thus far. But I did want to just spend 2 minutes here with a gambling you. For those of you that might be just joining us here on Pluto TV and others, welcome in channel 517. This was a very unique week here, coming out of week 11 of the NFL season. Unique from the standpoint of it was dominated by favorites. And what we know in the sports investing world is that when favorites win, that usually means sports books lose and the public, the novices, the newbies, the recreational gambler, whether it's $5, $2, $10, $20, whatever it is, they often win. And this was a weekend where a lot of people either knew to sports betting or have been just recreational, where they only bet the NFL and they bet this weekend. They walked away with a pocket of money here, certainly more money than what their bankroll originally started with. And the reason I want to say, and the reason I'm pointing this out, is because this is maybe the most important lesson of any sports investor to understand. We talk about bankroll management, but it's easier said than done if you're new to this. Because most often than not, you win one, you lose one, you win one, you lose one. You're never really ahead of the game. But now you guys are going to wake up, look in your accounts today and be like, whoa, I'm ahead. I got some money here. And Right. Your knee-jerk reaction is to do one of a couple of things. Either A, start doubling up your bets or betting more than what you normally would do. Or even worse, you'll start doing these exotic plays where, you know, you'll rip out 25 different parlays and this and that. And again, just letting you understand that slow and steady wins the race. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. When you have weekends like this where you are up a few bucks, it is even more important to be disciplined enough to understand to slow it down. Don't change anything. That's why we're a big proponent when you guys start out to being a flat bettor, meaning equal amounts of bets on all the games that you do. If you're a $25 bettor, don't start betting $100 because you had a good weekend of game. Bet, continue to stay steady, stay the course. So when it's all said and done at the end of the year, when you add up that bankroll, you go, wow, I didn't blow all the winnings that I made there on the weeks that I actually profited. Bankroll management is huge, guys, but it starts when you have a really good weekend, like many of the public bettors did this week. Take that money and just forget about it. Continue to do business as you normally have with the market. Make your same plays for the same amount. Don't change anything because your bankroll is higher now. Just go ahead, continue to stay the course. You want a couple $100? Great. Next, new week, new situation. Nothing stays the same. It is, and I know it's cliche, guys, but it is without a doubt a marathon, not a sprint. Don't go crazy buying a whole bunch of hookers and prostitutes and everything else and over the weekend here because you're up a few hundred. No, leave it in there. At the end of the year, let's make sure you're up way more money than what you started with. And that is what we call a successful sports investing year. And Dane, I got to tell you, it's rule number one, brother, because you and I both know it's one thing to talk about it until all of a sudden you look at your bankroll, dude, and you're like, wow, I'm up $500. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like what? And the first reaction is, well, I'll just throw in $1.50 a game and let's see that. Or I'll throw in a. Don't. Like, flat betting is the disciplined flat betting. Don't change anything just because you had a good weekend or a good couple of days or even a good week. Stay the damn course. Otherwise, 2 weeks from now, you'll be like, what the hell happened to all that money I won?
Yeah, and I got to tell you the truth, Joe. This happened to me, you know, on Sunday. I had a good I had a good day. Okay, I had a good day. I went something like 4-1 on my bets. I hit a teaser, a four-team teaser. I was feeling good. I, like you said, woke up yesterday morning with more money in my account, right? I had to exercise extreme discipline. There were a lot of things I liked on Monday Night Football, Joe. I had to check myself and I literally only bet half of the things I wanted to because of exactly what you just said, Joe. I was like, let me not get carried away and start getting too cute and bet on things I wouldn't normally bet. For example, Joe, you know, our boy Gabe's been talking about that long field goal prop for years, right? I had a good day. So I was like, eh. You know, out in the thin air in Mexico City, let me bet this long field goal prop. Then there was a voice in my head that was like, Dane, don't go overboard. Just do what you do, right? And so, and I would have even hit the long field goal prop, but I'm fine with this because it's about discipline. You keep inching it up the hill. And like you said, at the end of whatever your period is, the month, the week, the year, you look up and you just want to have a few more units than you started with. Inch it up the hill, people.
Correct. It's a marathon. Don't make it a sprint, guys. Nobody wins in a sprint. We're all out of shape. There is also some news regarding the suspensions and the final ruling plan is coming down tomorrow. The NFL has announced. So we will know exactly what's going to happen with Myles Garrett and everybody else involved in that melee there on the field for Pittsburgh and Cleveland on Thursday night. I think we're all in agreement here, Dane, that the chances are they will just put a number on it and say six games, whatever's left in the season. That's what they'll assign because of the, obviously, you have a CBA in place for purposes just like this. That's why you're a member of a union. And I think the final list of exactly who's getting fined what, all of that will be made available to the public tomorrow. And the good news is there isn't anybody that's been left out. And we weren't of a, you know, suspend Mason Rudolph. We always said that, you know what? Are you going to hold him accountable for anything in that situation there? Because initially it sounded like they weren't, but now it sounds like, yeah, it's going to hit him in the pocketbook. And, you know, I don't need a pound of flesh, but you do need to send a statement that, yeah, I get you the quarterback, dude, but at the same, you can't be, You can't be instigating brawls right. with defensive players without a penalty. And I think maybe that to me was the bigger, that was the bigger message of all of this is what does he represent in all of this? And what is his fine going to be? And I guess we'll finally know tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, we talked about this when it happened on Friday, right? On the Friday show. We talked about how Mason Rudolph was not without fault. Now, obviously, Myles Garrett went over the line.
Sure.
But Mason Rudolph was, you know, towing it. I mean, he tried to rip Myles Garrett's helmet off. He just was less effective at doing so. And then even when two offensive linemen were trying to, like, stand in front of them and in between them, Mason got up in Myles Garrett's grill. I'm not excusing anything Myles Garrett did, but Mason Rudolph should not be without punishment. To be honest, Joe, I would not bat an eyelash if he did actually get a game. Right. It looks like it's going to be just a fine. But yeah, they gotta hit him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't just make it one sided because that sends an even worse message, I think, than it's not a matter of blaming the victim. It's just a matter of taking the situation, guys, and calling it for what it is. You can't be afraid to call it for what it is. And apparently the owner of the Panthers now is got no problem telling you exactly where he stands because it's amazing. All of a sudden, Kyle Allen may not be the future of the Panthers now. Is that what's going on? But the owner did say that he has not, and they have not as an organization, made a decision on Cam Newton's future, who, of course, we knew stepped aside this year. He's going to have surgery. Maybe he's not. Bottom line is he's done for the year. I think this was a test case to see if Kyle Allen is their guy. I don't know. How do you go from winning four games, being the future, to having a couple of bad games as a rookie, and now all of a sudden people are telling me Kyle Allen can't play? I don't know. What is it, Dane? What is it?
Either one. It's not that he can't play, but when he won four in a row, it's not that he was a superstar. You know, there's a reason he's a backup quarterback, and they get exposed over time. Carolina will be in the market, I still think. Maybe one of these other merry-go-round guys. Andy
Dalton? I don't think Cam's in the market for him, but we'll see what happens here.
Someone else.
Yep.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
So who would like to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? And if you are, well, you're one of those folks, you maybe you want to dunk on your NBA DFS competition, and you can do so with DailyRoto.com and simply dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. How about you compete with the pros with the DailyRoto.com Optimizer? most accurate projections in NBA DFS. Plus, you get lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and so much more. You can save 10% now on winning NBA DFS advice with the promo code DUNK. That's dailyroto.com/dunk to learn more. dailyroto.com/dunk. And keep in mind that dailyroto.com, it's where millionaires are made. And welcome into the grid. It is sportsgrid.com. I'm Joe Ranieri. He is Dane Martinez. And Dane, I got to ask you, too, what is, I mean, we mentioned about our, you know, our crazy little, you know, in-house pit league fantasy here. But
yeah,
I know there's a lot of guys I saw crying yesterday about Max injury, you know, now Tyreek Hill's gone.
Yeah.
What is the waiver wire even look like right now for some guys? I mean, is there, what the hell's available? And it looks like, listen, Indy's got some options. They got some depth right at running back. So I don't know. I mean, what exactly, what do you do if you're, you know, coming in a home stretch here and look at that, everybody's hurt now. What the hell do I do? Sure. Is there anybody left on the wire at all?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously it's different for different leagues. And one of the things I do on my show, Fantasy Freestyle, Mondays and Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m., is we look at the waiver wire on the show. And I give you the kind of top ads at the running back, wide out, and tight end positions of guys who are owned in less than 50% of leagues. Okay, that is a key, right? Mm-hmm. So for a lot of times, Joe, at this point of the season, it's, you know, it's finding the next man up. You know, it's finding the next man up, usually due to injury. You know, if you want to know the truth. So, for example, this week, you know, we talked about guys like, you know, at the running back position. Yeah, Jonathan Williams in Indy may be replacing Marlon Mack. You know, could Bo Scarborough be a piece now in Detroit? Shady McCoy was only 54% owned. A guy like Darius Geis coming back will be unowned. At the wide receiver position, for example, Joe, a lot of people are adding Devontae Parker because he has 10 targets in each of his last two games, augmented by the loss of, you know, the unicorn, right?
Preston Williams. But here's
the other thing to look at, and this is really important, and this is a good nugget for you, Joe, and for others. What also happens a lot, Joe, is fantasy owners are forced to drop players that they wouldn't want to because of their bye week, okay? Sometimes bye weeks cause issues, right? And you got to drop, make tough decisions. So a lot of times you can find guys that had their bye week last week that are surprisingly out there, okay, and have nothing else wrong but coming back from the bye. Other people coming back from injury as well. So, for example, maybe someone like Sterling Shepard for the Giants who's missed 4 or 5 straight games and their team has a bye. They kind of fall off people's mind, the radar. You know what I mean? But he would be out there as well. At the wide receiver position, you got Shepard, Parker, and also Deebo Samuel. Listen, Debo's only owned in half of leagues, Joe. And if Manny Sanders has to miss any more time because of that ribs, you know it. Besides Kittle, Deebo has been the number one option there. So that's what it is. It's guys coming back from injury, Joe. It's guys who are like the next man up because of injury. And then keep a check. It's worth a look for guys, you know, coming back from their bye that maybe had to have gotten dropped because an owner got painted into a corner.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of guys right now struggling, looking and going, wow, what do I do now? Now, the good news is, I believe they said Mac is going to have some sort of surgery on a hand, but for some reason, they're not ruling him out for the rest of the year. So there might be an opportunity where he can come in and he can actually.
48 hours, though, Joe.
Like,
I'll tell you that.
I guess, but it looked like they
had a procedure yesterday on the hand. He ain't playing in 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but hey, listen, they've got some depth, and I guess if you got a couple of days to be able to have to make that final decision on ending his year, then why not? I mean, it's he ain't playing. You're right. He ain't playing in a divisional matchup
Thursday
here.
Against the Texans.
Yeah, that ain't happening. Not happening at all. But there are a couple of, and Dane and I talked about it a little earlier, there are some monster matchups this coming week in week 12, divisional matchups, even, you know, NFC great matchups like the flex game there being the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers, which, you know, very well could be a playoff game, a preview to a playoff game. But one of those games that is seeing a lot of movement, Dane, is the Seattle game heading to Philadelphia, which is interesting, too, because it opened up where Philadelphia was listed as a short 3-point home favorite. But it didn't last long. This is down to 1.5 and 1 in a lot of books, meaning Seattle's getting pounded right now. I mean, folks are coming in with an awful lot of bets and some money here. And I guess maybe it shouldn't surprise us because they fit that whole, you know, road dog type of situation here, which has been very profitable. But let's face it. I mean, they are 6 points or less as a road dog. It's been one of the most profitable trends in the market this year in the NFL. The Seahawks are 1-4 against the number at home, but they are 4-1 against the number on the road. And they also appear to be hammering the total. It opened up at 49, Dan, and it's already bet down to 48. So we're seeing a 1.5, some even 2-point line movement towards Seattle away from the home team. And we're also starting to see the under take some money in this game. I don't want to say I'm shocked, but, you know, Seattle flying, being in Philly, it's a little surprising, to say the least.
So let me ask you something here, and this is an authentic question, Joe. Really, you know, we talk about different trends that we put stock in, right? One of the ones I do believe in is that West Coast team flying east, okay? But Joe, remember, this initially was the Sunday night game.
Right.
Does that idea of a West Coast team flying east, because this is now a 1 o'clock start, does that change anything in the idea of the handicappers? You know, that West Coast team flying east for a 1 o'clock start is different than the body clock if it was an 8:20 kickoff. Does that matter at all, Joe?
It doesn't, because the guys moving the line are betting an awful lot of money. It's got nothing to do with it because they're all back in Seattle, which is why the line is moving away from Philadelphia. They don't think it has anything to do with it. They think Seattle is the better play. And I get the trends that we're looking off here. Seahawks coming off a bye, number one.
But he's coming in on Seattle.
They are much better.
It started at 3?
It started at 3 for Philly.
Oh, okay.
And now it's moving towards, you know, Seattle here. And I get it. Coming off the bye, not going to be added rest. Get it. They are 1-4 at home against the number. They've been terrible, which is so opposite for them. But they've been 4-1 against the number covering on the road. We watched it in Pittsburgh. So I get what they're doing here. Does this sound like a shootout to you? Because I kind of agree with the total.
No, I don't think this is necessarily a shootout. I need to see, will Jordan Howard be back? Remember, we've been talking about this, that I really believe that Jordan Howard adds a piece for their run game and allows them to be multiple and diverse. And I could see, you know, Seattle will want to run the ball as well. I don't care if Josh Gordon is there for them now. They're a run-heavy team. So I could see this being, and you know, we've also seen when Carson Wentz is forced into being a volume thrower, like we've talked about with other teams, it doesn't go well for Philly. So both of these teams, I think, will want to run the ball. I buy this number coming down. It stands at 48 right now. Joe, at FanDuel, it's still 2 points.
Still 2 points. Okay. So, yeah, it's an interesting move early on, as is the Cowboys taking on the Patriots. This was another big one. This one opened up 6.5 points. Patriots is a home favorite. They're pounding Dallas because obviously maybe the hook had something to do with there at that 6.5. It is down to 6 in a lot of places that I'm seeing here. Again, Cowboys, road dog, short road dog, under a touchdown here. But the Patriots, again, how do you bet? You know, obviously somebody's betting against because the line's moving towards Dallas. But this is another one of these spots where, do you go against what we know to be true with Brady and Belichick, or do you back Dallas here?
So I don't think I go against Brady and Belichick, but here's what I do think. We've been saying all season long, Joe, that the Patriots' schedule gets tougher, okay? And I think Dallas is an embodiment of that. And maybe we're not going to see these generational all-time record point differentials anymore. You know what I mean? They were beating the Washington and the Jets and Miami. They're beating them by 30. Now you see You see the Cleveland game. You see the Philly game. The Philly game's at least tighter. And maybe people are thinking that New England's still good enough to win, but not to absolutely boat race these people. And so we'll get more reasonable lines, or people are betting, being like, all right, 6 points, that's enough. I think New England will be in more close games moving forward. And I don't think that's a horrible idea, because I do think the Patriots will be tested more in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and it's funny, these two teams, the two teams totally different as far as the total goes. The total opened up at 46, but the over is 7-3 in Dallas's games this year, and the Patriots 7-3 to the under. So something is going to give here. What's it going to be? Is the you believe in the Patriots defense more than the Cowboys offense? Because the Cowboys have been they've been profitable to the over, but with the Patriots, it's all about the under this year. That number, I'm going to be very interested to see what that does this week, Dane.
Yeah, my initial lean, Joe, would be towards the under in this game. My initial lean would be towards the under. Dallas will run the ball. Yeah, listen, Stephon Gilmore is, you know, under-respected as one of the best corners in the NFL. And you put him on Amari Cooper, who, by the way, is banged up, okay? And I think that could be... that could be a difference. You know, Bill Belichick will take something away. I'm excited to see what exactly that is. So we'll see. But my initial lean would be under on the 46 total I'm seeing at FanDuel.
Couple of other interesting moves here. NFL Week 12 trying to beat the closing line. We'll go ahead. We'll talk about them coming up next here. Make it rain on the grid, sportsgrid.com.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk. I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the newsfeed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, taking a look here on the NFL spreads that usually open up right around Sunday evening, guys. And it's always a good time for you to take a look early on in the week as to where the numbers started and which way they are trending, because it also gives you a good barometer as far as what the true odds of a game should be. Because obviously early in the week, the limits are down at sportsbooks, so they are hoping and they are relying upon the professionals to come in and tell them how bad they've missed, or if they're right on, they can tell that by the amount of action that they are getting, which is why you also see lines open up at one thing and end up at another. And what we're always trying to do is beat the closing line. In other words, gain the couple of cents one way or the other, which all adds up at the end of the year, where you want to get in on a number and then watch it go in the opposite direction and you feeling really good about your bet. And a couple of these lines, and there's always a handful of games early on in the week that that show you just how off the books were and which way they are putting the line. And we told you about the Seahawks opening up Philly as a -3 point home favorite. The money has all come in towards Seattle. Also, New England, 6.5 point. We've already seen a lot of the money come towards Dallas. And another one, which I find interesting, how about the Buffalo Bills at home? Now 7-3, Dane. They're going to welcome in the Denver Broncos, who covered against Minnesota on the road there. And you would think, obviously, a layup for Buffalo based upon the win-loss records. However, Buffalo opened up 5.5 point home favorite. Man, that didn't last long because it's immediately dropped down to 4.5, even 4 in some places. Yeah. So that's a lot of love for Denver here, Dane, to start off here. Is it an overvaluation of Buffalo maybe? Or, again, Denver, road dog, guys. We can go down the list here. Road dog off a loss. Short road. I mean, there's a lot of the trends that fit for Denver here. But what does the eye test tell you here in this particular matchup with Denver and Buffalo?
I think it'll be very tough. You know, one of the things that I always look at is the schedule, Joe. And I know it is tough for an NFL team on back-to-back road games. And that is what's facing the Denver Broncos. They were at Minnesota. And remember, they had a great first half, but then Minnesota came back on them. Now, after that, they don't go back home. They got to sack up and go further east to Buffalo. I think that's a tough task. I think maybe the line moves for a couple of reasons. One, people saw that Denver hung with Minnesota and was like impressive, outperformed the number. Remember, they were double-digit dogs last week and lost, you know, kind of the very end of the game. So maybe they overperformed their line and there's some correction there. The other thing, and we say this all the time, Joe, I also look at the total, 37.5. And this may be a gambling you kind of thing as well, right? With low totals, we always, generally speaking, say it's harder to cover a big spread, because if the book is expecting it as a relatively low-scoring game, then how do you go about getting that working margin? And we talk about that. So I wonder if this incredibly low total makes people, you know, skeptical about Denver, about Buffalo being able to cover that number. But for me, Joe, I don't want to back Denver here in a back-to-back road game spot against two playoff teams in a row. They may play well or play well early, but ultimately I am going to lean with the home team here.
It is, you know, of course, Buffalo, it's not like Denver is any bargain either, but this time of year, weather-wise, in Buffalo is not great. Forecast already calling for, you know, temperatures in the, 20s, but again, the wind is the big problem here. It's supposed to be an extremely windy day coming off of that lake up in Buffalo. And that could, I mean, 37, Dane, I would not at all be surprised if we see that thing down to 36 before long. These two defenses we know can get at it. And, yeah, I mean, could we see a 2010 game? Damn straight we probably could. You know what I mean? So, but it's interesting how fast that line has moved down to that 4 number from 5.5, where the sharps are telling you Denver's got some value here this weekend in their game against Buffalo. And then the one other big mover of the early week here, Dane, is the Monday night matchup, the Ravens at the Rams. And Baltimore opened up as a 3.5 point road favorite here,
right?
But it seems the Rams people jumped on the hook there. Give me the 3.5 because it looks like it's dropped down to around 3 now. And the total in this one, 46.5. And I don't need to tell you about them primetime unders. So this is what that this fits into here at 46.5. But it's interesting. You know, you said West Coast to East Coast. East Coast to West Coast. Rams, obviously, still banged up here, still hurting. But a win is a win. They're home again against a Ravens team with Lamar. Could Aaron Donald and this defense, could this defense limit what we could anticipate here from Lamar Jackson and company?
I haven't seen it yet. You know, we haven't seen anybody truly stop them yet. So I don't know. I think I will make this point, though, Joe. You say it's down to 3. Over our friends on FanDuel, it is still 3.5. But the 3.5 is minus 125. So we always say that there's clues in the juice, right? It's up to 125. That means they are about to move it to 3, but they haven't done it just yet. So if you love that hook, go get it over at FanDuel. You know, you talk about the West to East. That's for early games. East to West for late night games have the same effect. So we'll see if Monday Night Football for the Ravens, if their body clocks, that game will be kicking off at a time that they believe is 11:30 p.m. You know what right. I mean? So we'll see about yep. their body clocks. But no, I mean, you're going to bet. You know, we bet with streaks, right? Not to get in front of them necessarily. I got to see Lamar get stopped. Could Aaron Donald get pressure on him? Yeah. Could Jalen Ramsey take away someone like Hollywood Brown? Yeah, but then guess what? He feeds his not one, not two, but 3 tight ends. And, you know, they're just so multiple, so diverse. I got to see someone stop them first. They're the number one offense in the NFL. And when you think about that, you think about throwing teams, right? The Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs. No, the number one offense in the NFL is the run-heavy, Lamar Jackson-led Baltimore Ravens. So I got to see someone slow them before I bet it that way.
It's interesting, too. I didn't realize it's actually Lamar Jackson's very first Monday Night Football start. This will be his first shot in a primetime matchup on
Booger
Monday night.
Booger is going to wax poetic over this.
Oh,
dude.
My word, dude. You got to be kidding
Turn
me.
Turn it into
like,
a drinking
come.
Game, people, next Monday night.
Wow. You know it's coming, too, man. You know it's coming. But the total 246.5, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. I will say this. If I'm a Rams fan, they took the training wheels in a bubble wrap off of Gurley last week, at least in the first half.
20-some-odd carries.
He does bring if you can get a vintage Gurley, or at least that's the way you're going, it does change the game a little bit. If for no other reason, just his pass-catching ability out of the backfield, then it becomes a matchup nightmare for a Ravens, second line there, that linebackers and secondary. That's a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, and remember, I don't know, Joe, we still don't have any clarity on what the Robert Woods personal issue was.
Yeah, exactly.
That caused him to miss Sunday night, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but they're starting to say Brandon Cooks, was he trending in the right direction? Or is there still no timetable? There's a chance, what I mean, that the Rams will have more of a full complement of their weapons to try and go after Baltimore as well. So they may be able to, you know, put up more points and hold up to their end of the bargain on this total if you want to lean over. But I know you like the primetime unders, Joe. And remember also, we said this yesterday. The Rams changed their scheme blocking. They were a zone blocking scheme, but that's not what we saw when they gave Gurley the ball against Chicago. We saw them double teaming in the middle of that line and telling Gurley to plow forward. That is different, and maybe that's a better idea for their run game. So we'll see if their running game is going on. They actually feed Gurley. Maybe they get Woods back. Maybe we do see a return of the Rams offense, but it's going to be a tough test.
It's interesting, our Jets, too, Dane, with the Raiders this week. And this opened up as Oakland is a 3-point road favorite here at MetLife Stadium, taking on the New York Jets. And I have seen it at 2.5 in a lot of places here, which means that there is certainly somebody betting the Jets here and backing them. But this is another one of those spots, Dane, where we've got a 3-7 Jets team taking on a, Raiders team 6-4. The Raiders must be better, right? Well, the Raiders are minus 25 point differential this year. And yeah, that generally tells us, historically tells us, that that's a better indicator on what a team's true value is and what right. whether they are, if they've just gotten all the breaks or if they truly are worthy of their record. And quite honestly, the Oakland Raiders, they're not that much better than the New York Jets, and the numbers bear out to show it. So I don't know. Giving them, I mean, you're talking about, that's a three-point swing. You're now a three-point road favorite in New York. You run the ball well, and the Jets stop the ball. You know, it seems like I'd be very careful looking at the Raiders this week, thinking that they are strictly the better team because they have the better record. I think these two teams are a hell of a lot closer than people realize. And you want to give me points with MetLife Stadium with the Jets at home? Yeah, all right. I got no problem taking them by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm with you, Joe. There's a lot of reasons here. I've been talking a lot about the West Coast to East Coast 1 o'clock game. That's one thing.
Yep.
For all the Jets' warts, you know, they're second in the NFL in stopping the run. Okay. And I don't know, you know, Josh Jacobs went off last week for 110 and all that. That was against Cincinnati and their worst run defense in the NFL. This is a different test. And if Josh Jacobs gets stifled, then it goes back to Derek Carr, you know, and on his arm. And can he really do it? He's played all right, but this may be a different challenge. The other thing, and I don't know how much stock you throw into this kind of narrative, Joe, but all of a sudden people are starting to give the Raiders a little bit more credit, right?
You
they were
that.
Kind of under-respected for the first few months of the season. Now people are starting to warm up to them, right? And it's like, oh, so maybe they're smelling themselves a little bit. And remember what we talked about week 13 is Raiders Chiefs, right? So this could profile to me as a trap game for the Raiders, and the fact that the Jets can stop the run. And don't look now, Sammy D has played pretty well in the last few games now that maybe he's over the mono. Okay, remember, we always thought that even when he was back, it was going to take a little while. He's played well. They can stop the run. West Coast to East Coast and Kansas City on the horizon. I'll take the Jets 3 points at home.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Those are the kinds of early matchups there, early line movements that got us shaking. And again, shaking our heads at some of these, but the whole point of being a sports investor is to try to beat the line, guys, is to try to gain value, get it at a certain number, and watch it go the other way because you feel you're on the right side. That's why you bet games early on in the week and you follow the markets from here on out. There are a couple of MAC games I will just throw out your way here, Dan, because you know what's going to happen here in a set. It's going to be total pandemonium, except for anything that Bowling Green plays in. They're taking on the Ohio Bobcats. Here's what you need to know about the Bowling Green Falcons. You ready? They have scored a grand total of 3 offensive touchdowns in their past 3 games.
Really?
That's all you need to know. So lay the 20 points here with Ohio and expect Ohio to blow the doors off of Bowling Green. Ohio is they have a shot of being not only in a pretty actually lucrative bowl game, too. So they're 6-6. Expect Ohio. Don't be afraid of the 20 points. Lay the damn number. Bowling Green might score 1 touchdown. That's it. Don't expect
anything. 6.5 is a high number.
Yep, score it. Don't worry about it. This has got 45-7 written all over it, Dan. It's one of those games. Bowling Green ain't coming back in the fourth quarter. They haven't for 3 weeks. So, interesting.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Did you miss me?
Here's what you missed on Make It Rain.
What you also saw was Tyreek Hill and others go out with like cramps and muscle things. And to me, that was part of the altitude. Remember, the Chargers went over there and practiced like at altitude in Colorado Springs. The Chiefs were like, nah, we're good. And then really quickly, early in the game, you had Chiefs cramping with muscle stuff like Tyreek Hill. I think that could have been part of the altitude as well. There's real impacts there.
Yeah, and it was, again, 2,000 feet above what Denver is, guys. Yeah. And we know the advantage that Denver gets, certainly, playing at home.
In that stadium, Joe, it's like you get winded just climbing the stairs to your seat.
Yeah, Andy Reid said after the game, it was hysterical. Like, he was on the sideline. He said, even my lungs were burning. So he was pretty impressed with what his players were able to work through. But I don't think enough credit is given also to, you have Desmond King and you have Casey Hayward Jr., two members of that secondary in the Chargers organization. Guys, they are, I mean, which is, it's unfortunate. I know they're going to get a little help. They're on the bye. They're still 4-7 at this point. They are getting some help there, but these two guys were, it wasn't a great matchup, even if Tyreek Hill was there, because of that secondary. And I think we talked about it from the Chargers side, guys, but anybody that thinks this is the same old Kansas City Chiefs this year, guys, you're not paying attention. While they do have some weapons, and while they can be explosive, guys, that's not what you're getting like what we got last year. It's so funny how we're so influenced. You know, people are still, Dane, how many times this week did you hear, you remember that Monday night game last year where they scored 900? Guys, that was a million years ago. It might as well have been a million years ago. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the makeup of this team right now and what this organization is going through. There are still, on that offensive line, there are some deficiencies. And yes, I don't care what you say, the knee, the ankle, he is not 100%. He's not going to be 100% for the rest of the year. So we need to get used to that, guys. But that offensive line, there are definitely, I think, some defenses as well, Dane, in the AFC. That, to me, it's all about matchup, right? There are some defenses, like the Chargers showed you, that can match up pretty well against even Patrick Mahomes in this season.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teams have put out the blueprint, right? You know, we've seen not only defensively to be able to stuff them, but the idea of being able to run on them to keep Patty Mahomes on the sideline. We saw Houston do it in Arrowhead. We saw Indy do it in Arrowhead. The Chargers did a lot of the job that they needed to do.
Salesforce presents a mini meditation. Close your eyes and let your video conference calls fade away. Ignore the voices drifting from your laptop. Forget how your chin looks from this angle. And focus on what really matters, your customer. On your path to customer success, focus your teams with a single 360-degree view of your customer with Salesforce Customer 360. Find customer focus at salesforce.com/360.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.